Hi, everyone, and welcome to this episode of CLOs Uncovered with Corporate Credit. My name is Sandeep Chana, and I'm a senior analyst in the structured credit team here at S&P, and I'm joined here with my colleague in the corporate team, Hina Shoaib.
Hello, everyone. This is Hina Shoaib. I'm based in London, director, and I'm looking at European retail as sector lead. And today we are very lucky to have Taryn Wade. She is a director at LCD. She heads up our European research. So welcome, Taryn.
Thanks for having me.
Taryn, so I'd probably start first, and you know, we're starting from the CLO side to really get your views on what's happening in the market. September's been a busy month. We've seen a number of deals come in or actually launch on the pipeline. That also includes new issues as well as refis and resets. And we think that there are a number of variables that are explaining that. One, obviously, the demand for CLO paper. Another feature is something that we spoke about in our SF conference recently, which is the value that a Euribor floor is giving to CLO paper when we're living in this negative yield environment. But from your point of view, what are you seeing in the pipeline? What are you seeing from the European CLO side?
So, I mean, we obviously agree with you. There's a lot of activity. Our journalists have tallied up and seen that there's going to be about 12 new issuance or refis resets by the end of the month or early October. So I think what's interesting from our perspective, obviously we look at the supply of new paper in the market, and it looks like we have a lot of M&A in the pipeline. A lot of the deals are M&A driven, but because there is so much demand coming from the CLO bid and also from managed accounts, other investors, we also see a lot of repayments into our ELI index, our European Leverage Loan Index, and so that gives a lot of firepower for new issuance. In addition to the M&A supply, there's a lot of room for opportunistic transactions. So that would include refinancings, recapitalizations, and we might even start to see some repricings.
Very interesting. I think what, Taryn, you just mentioned, we're seeing quite a lot of deals, and again, there's a big focus on refinancings. Some of them are even opportunistic recaps, but it's more the refinancings we are seeing. And I think there is this also angle of Brexit coming in and the issuers who can access the market before that, around that time, I think there's a lot more activity. So I can definitely agree with what you've just mentioned.
Yeah, that's another interesting point is the UK angle. And we published a piece of research that looked at deals coming from UK issuers. It's actually a large percentage of the pipeline, and I think it's, is it related to Brexit? On the one hand, yes, there are a lot of buyers out there who are looking for deals, and the equity markets have punished UK corporates, so there may be some of that happening, but, it is a little bit coincidental. There are just a lot of UK companies out there at the moment trying to raise debt. So, what's interesting though is that it is actually all in euros. Not all in euros. Most of it is in euros. Mm-hmm. There are a couple of tranches that are in sterling, and the issuers are having to pay up quite a bit for sterling because, as you know, CLO managers have to swap that. So, if you're an investor, you're getting paid more for sterling.
Very interesting.
What about leverage in corporates as well? I mean, again, it was something that was discussed in our SF conference on our panel, but maybe, you can give us a bit more into the details of what's happening in leverage on the senior part of corporate structures. Is it something that we need to be conscious of in today's market?
Maybe I'll start off and tell me if you feel the same or you disagree, because again, what we're seeing, the deals that we're looking again, I wouldn't really say, but this really feels like the top of the cycle. The leverage is increasing, it's creeping up. And the question is, I was trying to look into some of the data of the last couple of years. So let's say if I really specifically pick up retail, the last big LBOs probably happened in 14 and 15. So there's a lot of legacy leverage already in the deal. That's how it all started. But right now, when it's going through a lot of structural change, operational issues, plus the environment where we are in, it just makes more sense that's why the leverage is up where it is. And I think this is applicable for quite a lot of few sectors, not for everyone in corporates, but for quite a few sectors. So I would say we're seeing really the top end in terms of the leverage.
Which I guess is something that Taryn, you guys report at LCD as well, leverage levels and how that's moved, you know, pre to post crisis.
Yeah, I mean, they have gone up. They have gone up, and we're closer to the crisis than we ever have been before. I would say that if you look at our numbers, and remember, our numbers are not adjusted in the same way as the rating side of the business. We look at the number that is given to investors as the sort of, you know, the marketing number, and that that has not changed that much. Total leverage from this time last year, it's at 5.4 times debt to EBITDA from our numbers. However, first lien leverage, to be more specific, actually is higher. And I think that's where more investors are concerned about the senior leverage.
Maybe at this point, I'll add on the leverage part, because every time when we get the deal, there is always this marketing number or marketing leverage. Mm-hmm. But when we get a deal on the corporate side, we're definitely trying to take the noise out and really find out what the real leverage is, of course. If there are one-offs or performers and things like that, a lot of noise gets taken out when we write S&P adjusted leverage, mm-hmm. just for the fact this is how leverage we look at within the corporate space.
Mm. It's interesting when you talk about documentation on the loan side, because that kind of evolution of changes in documentation we're also seeing on the CLO side as well. I mean, we've commented on this recently where we are seeing changes in documents, for example, trading plans. It's kind of like a number of offsetting trades that could happen. We're seeing larger buckets come across. We're seeing, like we spoke in at our last corporate CLOs Uncovered podcast, we talked about the amortizing target par, other features around non-senior note cancellations, and increasing flexibility around interest smoothing mechanisms. And it's quite interesting how we're seeing that evolve also on the CLO loan documentation side.
Very interesting, yeah. But I definitely add on the when we look at the cap structure, the bonds, the loans, again, we're still seeing a lot of cov light. I think that's not going away anytime soon. So I think cov light is still the deals that we're looking at, even let's say the ones that are expected to be priced in.
Yeah, and I think that's why the expectation is that we won't see defaults happen as quickly, because the triggers aren't there. It's going to be a liquidity crisis for these companies. And I think one other interesting thing, because we talk a lot about, well, what is going to trigger the next credit cycle? Mm-hmm. And potentially it could be sector related. I mean, we've seen Thomas Cook. Very recently. And that that is a sector that has been disrupted by technology, by consumer behavior. And so maybe the defaults that we're going to see could be linked to disruption. It may not be sort of across the board. I don't know what you guys think about that. Fair enough.
Because again, the expectation is going to be a long tail. So we have seen, of course, the defaults in retail. But the question is, there's a lot more transitions in the CCC category than default happening straight away. So,
brilliant. So thank you very much to both Hina and Taryn. But that's it for this episode. Please do write into us or call us if there's anything else you wish for us to discuss. But other than that, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.